the schedule, and we had some discussion from a bunch of other presentations, we have this basic problem that right now we can't run the X server not as root, not from, for any fundamental access to the hardware requirement. Right now, the only thing that's preventing us from running the X server not as root is that we don't have any way for when you're running multiple X servers to tell which X server should be getting input. What?
Console can't tell you which user is on the current set.
The problem is that once you've opened the input device, we have no way to stop you from getting input from that device.
We close them on DTX.
Are we talking about multiple?
That's because we have a privileged X server, so we trust it to do that.
Are we talking about multiple X servers at the same time?
Yes. Yeah. Well, yes, just, I don't care if you're DT switching or whatever, but if you have multiple X servers, if you're running non-privileged X, and you want to be able to support multiple people being logged in simultaneously, which is a requirement for most desktop OSs, so you use it switching, then you have to run, then the X server has to be a trusted application.
Yes.
Or you can run on the way in.
And yes. I'm dead serious. Yeah, I'm not
how do you do input switching in Wayland? How do you have multiple Wayland servers running as different users?
No, you have like one system in Wayland.
And your Wayland server's now a privileged process.
Yeah.
I don't want to do that. I don't want my display server to be privileged. There's no reason for it.
It doesn't have to be privileged.
Yes, it is privileged because it is directing input from the system hardware to a particular user.
Well,
it's a privileged process.
You need privilege.
What?
If that's a privileged operation, you don't need that privileged process.
It's not a privileged operation, but you're effectively in the trusted computing base because we're trusting your application to direct the input from the keyboard to the correct application.
So the way what we used to do in EBM, and I did this for a reason, was when we entered VT and we opened the input device, we would do AVIOC wrap, which takes the input device out of the processing queue for the rest of the system.
Yep.
We got rid of that against my stern protestation because if you do that, it breaks things like mouse button emulation,
yep.
It breaks RF kill, and a bunch of other stupid crap like that. So we just need a user space rabbi output that says, I'm the only user space process allowed to touch this device. That's it.
Then no. When you switch your DOS in the other session because you the other. We need a mechanism that's going to switch input without the cooperation of the X server.
I have no requirement that I not be allowed that DOS doesn't happen.
Right. It seems like it is an improvement at a minimum to say, okay, as a process I can no longer be a keylogger, but I can still stop other things from getting into it. That is an improvement over I can intercept other people's input.
Yes, it's a mild improvement. I would assert that because we can't use that IOC build today because it breaks a bunch of stuff in the system.
Only because it's implemented stupid, and if we had one more IOC, it's very, very small, it would be a very easy problem. And then we would merely reduce the DOS, and you can already DOS X servers very easily.
You can DOS the X server, I don't care about that. I'm talking about DOSing between two X servers.
Also not really hard. Both of those users are on the same system. I can run as many processes as I like to keep it from getting any resources.
You can't, whatever.
That's a containers problem. Yeah. There are all sorts of resource partitioning and
We already manage both users on the same system. And we manage resource contention. We put limits on them, whatever, right? This is not a fundamental.
DOS prevention is simply not something that I.
But this
need.
Is this
if
is.
You are trying to solve DOS prevention. That's
no,
what
I'm trying to make it so that the X server doesn't have to participate in user switching or the display server.
Hang on,
Wayland really is a solution to this problem.
No, Wayland has no solution for this.
It is.
Only if you accept that Wayland is a privileged process, and I say we don't want to do that. Okay, it's no different than X.
You want it to do a privileged operation, but you don't want
to. I don't want it to be a privileged operation. I want to have ConsoleKit be able to tell the kernel, this user is active. Let his processes talk to the input device. I don't want my display server to be doing that.
Also, not especially hard.
Right. That's what I'm wondering. Can we do that?
So yeah. You have queuing events to the EDIT file descriptors is. That is on that. Like, you have to do it once per file descriptor anyway. So if you open it and say, I'm process mode, or I'm a console opener of this file descriptor, actually you need to do this all the time. So that when you open an EVDev device, and you have a controller terminal, or whatever, then...
Do we want to do this with process groups? Do we want to do this with... What are the other current
C groups?
C groups. How do we want to group the processes that are going to get access to the EVDev stream?
Is it TTY?
It's not a TTY.
So it's... That's the...
If you accept VT switch as the way we're switching users, we don't want to do that.
Why not? That's how we do it.
But how we do it today, the problem with VT switch is that VT switch right now, the kernel assumes that you're switching frame buffers as well and flips your display.
Oh, so we need a thing that I've been also asking for the last 5 years, which is kernel seats. The association between this video card and this pilot input devices is this seat. And they can overlap, and then you have multiple users on the same seat when they get to switch.
So that's what I'm saying. We have a bunch of existing mechanisms which don't quite satisfy what we want to provide to the user. And what mechanisms do you want?
What are you suggesting?
I don't know. I wanted to be able to discuss this so we had some ideas where we should be working.
Yeah. I think...
So I have a couple of requirements. My number one requirement is that no display server, nothing that talks to user applications and does things on the display on behalf of them, none of those should be privileged. None of those should be specially able to redirect input devices.
Keith, do you want it to be not privileged at all, or to drop privileges as soon as possible?
Never be privileged.
Never.
I want to have any user be able to run a display server. Because when we move to a WAN environment in particular, I want people to be able to run their own display servers, right? Because the WAN display server is where all of your window management happens, where a bunch of other customization occurs.
So we're talking about a process that has to arbitrate the input, and I don't think you should...
It only has to arbitrate input for a particular user. It doesn't have to arbitrate input between users.
Like you arbitrate input from the system into specific user session.
Not from the system, from the user's login session.
Right.
Right? We want to be able to arbitrate among multiple users, demultiplexing input from multiple users at a different level from demultiplexing input for a particular user, multiple applications.
I didn't make my WLAN case clear, but this is the occasion we have a WLAN server that runs an XSER on top. So you're running the XSER as a client on a system WLAN server. This system WLAN server will get what we...
Yeah, I don't want to do that though, because
the
whole point is that we want to be able to have users run their own WLAN server.
Yeah, they can do this as a client of the system. So you keep the system server is basically console.
Yes,
it is the right way to do this. It really is, because you have the system WAN server which owns the video hardware and the input device. And that system server is able to arbitrate those input and output devices.
But now you're talking about sending input through two more processes?
No, one more process.
Another process.
Yeah, we're not talking about round trips. It's just delivering input, all input.
Nearly twice a hundred.
I don't see the value there. I mean, all that you're doing at that point is having it bounce input events.
You have to use a space arbitrator.
But that system WLAN server can't be doing any compositing because you want to use it.
Because when you want to...
You don't want it to, in your normal case.
You really do. Because when you go from one system to another, you don't want to think out the text mode.
Yeah, of course, obviously.
Without control. You want to transition it smoothly from one XSER to another. And because the WLAN system server is a compositor, you can spin the
circuit
on a key. But and when you go back to running one of these full screen XSER servers, that will go back to the full screen and the WLAN compositor will scan out for that XSER.
Sure. The scan out part is easy, but I really don't think I want the input stuff to be done, to be bounced through another process.
You don't want another process.
Frame buffer.
I don't know what to say. That's
If that's
I mean, really, all we need at that point is a system WLAN server to say, you get input now, whatever.
I mean, I'm not sure what the concern is. Are you afraid of latency?
There's additional latency there.
There's also a privilege problem in it. You mentioned specifically you didn't want a privileged process talking directly to user processes and communicating in that way, well, now you have a privileged process handling input talking to user processes, which are X servers. Same
or
programs.
Yeah,
no,
I don't know how you got it. You got a privilege to the kernel then?
Well, what do we need, what do we need to do?
We have to have a privileged process in user space that does this model space, or we have to do this similar thing in the kernel.
Right. Well, the kernel already does a lot of this, right? We have the exclusive access stuff. So the kernel's already demultiplexing, but what it does is it just broadcasts. Everybody who's open the input device gets all the input. So all we need to do in the kernel is say, no, not everybody does. Only these file descriptors do. Only this file descriptor does.
It does seem a little magic to distinguish between open file descriptors of the same file.
That's not.
No, it's like terminal devices, right? If you do a read on a serial device, and multiple people open the serial device, then only one of the processes gets the characters.
If you have a file descriptor, very different from process to process, but different. Obvious.
Same thing with a pipe or anything else. Socket
or
anything else.
SG, yeah.
Yeah. So we're just instead of having it be random, we're telling the kernel which instance gets it.
It's not random. It's not broadcast. It's unicast.
Yeah.
And I don't think there's.
Is that sufficient to make our X servers work and under VT switch today?
No.
What else do we need for privilege? I don't think.
There's still some silly ass cases where we'll try to do IO port access. Not great.
That's a bug. We
sure.
Can fix that. Is there anything else the system needs to do for us before we can get rid of being running through?
So, regarding input, one question is, ideally we don't want to tie the kernel's mechanism of handling the multiplexing to whatever user space policy we're using for deciding which things should get input.
Obviously, it's still on.
Well, you want or something.
Yeah,
yes.
ConsoleKit can already tell the system when to switch the input. They already have that.
The question is then, so
they're just looking for that
so there will be some privileged mechanism that is not the input device,
right,
or at least is a privileged dioctal or similar that whatever says to switch to. But how do you identify the thing that gets input? It's just a bunch of open file descriptors.
But the file descriptors are opened by particular processes that are in a C group and a process group.
So that's what I'm saying, policy. You might want to choose a different mechanism that doesn't necessarily involve C groups, for example.
If you attempted to pass the file descriptor from the process.
I was about to say, yeah.
The console kit or whatever, let it pass to the kernel.
Or vice versa.
Or vice versa.
You could pan the file descriptor over a Unix socket and say, and make some you can only do this once ioctal or whatever that says I am this number or.
Well, no, you could identify. The nice thing about Unix sockets is you can tell who's on the other end of it.
Yeah.
So that's a possibility. Yeah, there's a lot. So we have a couple. That's another interesting mechanism.
Right. Not tying it to C groups or anything in particular seems like a feature.
I don't know. Is there any particular reason why we wouldn't put each session in a separate C group?
Is there any fundamental reason we would, other than this?
Well,
I mean, there are lots of reasons to do it, but that's a mechanism. That's a policy decision of, oh, I'm using C groups for this.
No, that's we could declare that was how you had multiple sessions to run. You had them in C groups.
And there are scheduling reasons for doing that. If you're running a
single-based decision.
Yeah, if you're running multiple X servers, the ones in the background show rendering, that's nice and all.
Yeah.
But the one that you can see,
yeah, you might want that to be
probably you should get more GPU time. Just a problem. And you know, I've got
before on Google.
There, I can think of customers that would love that because then they could have the Urine process in the background running their graphics compute test,
yep,
but they would still get priority scheduling.
Yeah, but I didn't tell GPU is not so good because you don't get context.
I didn't say on your hardware. That bit of the silicon is not used by the Windows driver. So
it doesn't work so well.
So it doesn't work, yeah. Let's say a big company, a real big company, changed their mind several times during the development.
I'd be shocked.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, but there are other people for whom that is possible.
Okay.
And they're not running my video driver yet. They will be given some.
Yeah. So we need to come up with a mechanism to group sessions, and C groups is one possible way.
What about shared open file descriptors? How if ConsoleKit simply kept the file descriptor open?
Well, the trouble with that is that ConsoleKit needs to know about all of the input devices that anybody might open.
Well, true, except you could simply, in order to open an input device, you ask ConsoleKit to open it for you and hand you the FD.
That doesn't help.
Yeah.
That doesn't help, because if you do that...
It doesn't help you. You still need some way of being able to tell that FD that it doesn't get input.
Yeah, the kernel still
needs... No, that's my point. You have shared open file descriptors, which means I have a reference in ConsoleKit to the FD that is also open over there, which then means I can take that FD and say that FD is the one that now gets input and distinguish it from other FDs open to the same input device.
Yeah, so one issue with that, of course, is that then all of a sudden the X sort of depends upon ConsoleKit, which kind of sucks.
Or whatever other process does this. It doesn't have to be ConsoleKit. It depends on
some other input overriding.
Yeah, thing that opens file descriptors and manages access to them.
Doesn't ConsoleKit already have to know what input devices you might care about so that you can determine...
It should, but doesn't.
It doesn't care about them because the server's root, so it doesn't have to.
Right, but now
it has to fix that.
ConsoleKit ignores them right now. It doesn't need to do anything about it now because the X server manages control of the input devices by itself.
Right, but we're going to have to fix that.
Right.
There is another thing that for which it's privileged. It's not very important, but I have to handle it in the previous separation code I for open BSD, is the run for smart parent stuff, where you send a SIG user 2 to the user 1 to your parent at startup, and if your parent belongs to another user, non-privileged server cannot do that.
Right, there's a new hack for that. The new hack for that is that you stop yourself and your parent continues.
Oh, no,
what?
The thing that the run from smart parent is trying to do is let you know when it's safe to start connections.
Right.
And I have a patch list in Fedora that I have posted to the list, and again, we'll use it, where to solve a different problem, which is that you somehow guess a display number and hope that it works. There's a much better solution here. You have the X server run through, try to bind sockets until it succeeds, proceed with the rest of initialization, and once it's done, write the display number back out on a pipe so that you can tell the difference between X failed, GDM can tell the difference between X failed to start because that display number is already in use, and X failed to start because it's the misconfiguration. You can solve both of these problems.
That's a good hack. You just write out on basically and standard out.
We have, well, it's not standard out.
Yeah,
we
have another file
descriptor. But it's dash display FD 5, and then that open file descriptor gets written to at the run from smart parent point.
Nice.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Probably works. It breaks the ABI of this stuff, but.
Yeah.
Who cares about the display manager and everything?
Right.
Can we use that? So then, of course.
Well, they just wouldn't get us. You wouldn't be breaking this, right? Because they wouldn't pass this argument.
Yeah.
They just wouldn't get a signal.
Because you're running the X server as a non-privileged user.
Alternatively, X could start up as root, and then we log in, X could, you know, set UID to.
Yeah, that's what I do that on Solaris. We have a pipe where GDM tells us when you log in what username you authenticated as, and then we set UID to that. Until then, you don't know.
Right.
You've been running a search.
So, what do you do about if multiple people log in on the console at once?
There's a pipe from GDM to each X server at start, so if there's multiple people log in, they start different X servers.
And how do you demultiplex input correctly?
We have a we, when you VT switch, we have an IOPS to tell our kernel to give up to release the input devices from the sex server.
Who makes that IOPS call?
The server.
So you, the server's trusted even though it's running with the user's UID.
Yeah.
Awesome. I'm fine with that. That from an auditing perspective, that's way, way better. Because all I have to know is, will this always happen?
No, because the assumption now is that the X server is no longer trusted code. If you remove the notion of X being trusted from the system, because the user can connect to the X server, and we assume the user can run arbitrary code in the X server's address space. That's no longer trusted.
These are different things. Actually, you're right. Dietrich's thing I have power.
Right?
Dietrich's, okay, yeah. So
this is less secure than running the X server at the root in terms of being able to read people's keystrokes from another.
Right, because now that you're that user, they can attach. So it does actually need to run as its own user.
Yeah.
It needs to run, the X server does need to run not as the user.
And because all of the X servers are running as the same user, because the user can run arbitrary code in the X server's address space through some security hole of protocol, now all of the X servers are running as the same user, and you still have the same attack going through the input.
I'm not actually sure of that. I'm not entirely sure of all, but all that aside.
Yeah. So I want the X server to run as the regular user and have no special privileges. That's the goal.
So there is one further advantage of the approach of having the console kit or equivalent open the input device and hand the result to the X server.
You got a point about that?
Yeah, that on systems where you don't have this notion of revoke, if your kernel doesn't support that, then you can have your console kit like thing create a pipe and do the dispatch itself.
Oh, like the Windows server plan.
And right. If it does,
I don't really care about fixing systems that I can't fix the kernel in. That's not interesting to me. Other people might.
Yeah, good.
No, I don't. It's not. You fix the system at the root cause. You don't put a glue chip. Right. We can fix any system that's interesting. We can put the fix in the right place.
So the one other problem with making the X server something sufficiently unprivileged is that start another one, does it switching to the front still kinda needs to be a privileged operation?
The console kit tells you who gets to own the scanf buffer. I think that's true.
This is really what Wayne does. Wayne gives you input and output, the arbitrary two things.
And I don't want to go through another process to get the stuff on the screen. Right? The problem with having a root Wayland server is that now when I want to get stuff on the screen, I'm sending it to one Wayland server, we send it to another Wayland server. Every time I want to paste anything on the screen.
So how let's continue then. How are you gonna switch one exit to another by spinning a key?
At that point, then the one X server tells the Wayland server, it's your standout, have a party, and they negotiate.
Have one Wayland server. You can't give this party button from one Wayland server to another. You can't just expose the information.
Why not?
Because they can't exit to the other party. They're two different sessions.
We do that.
No. You have a meta Wayland server that runs transiently to do the animation and then goes away again.
Well, it's practically transient because when you're running full screen X server, you just forward the input and the output goes direct to the screen and the
if I want to do swap buffers, I have to talk to the other Wayland server. And I always want to do swap buffers.
Yes. The other Wayland server will control the DRAM terminals and API for you. So you do swap buffers. But
yes. So every time I want to do swap buffers, I'm doing another context.
Yes, right now with X, you run X and a compositor. You have two processes in the loop anyway. I don't really understand what you're
objecting. Now you're going to give me three processes. I'm having my...
Nope. If you run Wayland on Wayland, you have two processes.
If I run X on Wayland with a compositing manager, I have three. You're adding a process to whatever system I'm looking at.
Yeah, I just really don't think you should have any problem.
Yeah. you're not adding significant value with another process. I don't see the value that I'm running full speed.
The value is that it's a nice redesign.
I don't care about clean design. All
right.
Right?
So, I want to make it efficient. Don't go reinvent whatever type of because you need to do this crap.
I think there's still, it's still really sketchy to let users start running their service. Regardless, as soon as they're full screen, they can put up a dialog box that looks a whole lot like a password entry.
We have the SAP, the secure attention key issue that we've never resolved in Linux. That's another issue that we have to resolve.
We actually can.
What?
So the SAC, we do have a SAC key in kernel.
Yes.
And historically it wouldn't work because it would sync kill everything on the PC.
Right.
And that would leave your hardware half broken. It would leave any graphics.
Yeah.
Now we have KMS, so it doesn't happen.
Right.
Now that the process will go away here and make that back up. And then you're only racing against other attackers on the system. Right?
Yeah. Well, security, we need to define a mechanism whereby secure attention could actually work to survive. Right?
SAC needs to not just kill everything, it needs to do an exam.
Right. It needs to do something sensible.
So and then that thing's in the trusted computing phase, so how bad this was. And this is what I'm saying. I don't actually care about making the whole thing a privilege. I merely need to reduce the auditing service to something that my auditors are willing to look at. They're not willing to look at 300,000 lines right now.
Right.
And I know that I can get them to look at 20,000. And if the things that have happened that are privileged, I can point to them and say they happened before at this point in the main loop, like for the force batch, and these pieces of the audit of the console release process or was media switch. Don't look at that.
As soon as you switch to having the X server run as a non-privileged user, not as root.
Oh, I get that. No, I understand what you're saying. You're trying to solve this problem all the way. You're trying to make it run as an unprivileged user, and I'm saying that's not a goal. If I don't care about that.
If it runs as root, I mean,
it runs as root for a time and then stops.
Then how do you switch input from one X server to another?
ConsoleKit does for input devices what it does for DRM devices. It already puts a FACL on.
But I
DRM
can't
devices.
Put a FACL on an FD, I can only put a FACL on a FLAT.
I don't need it to. I close input devices when I leave. And yes, that puts it in the trusted computing base, but I have said that that's okay.
The whole X server is in the TCD then.
It's not the whole X server.
Yes, it's the whole X server. How is it not the whole X server? How can you partition off bits of the X server code? I don't get it. I assume
because that input code, because the model assumes that code and check attacks don't happen. And I know that sounds
like your model's broken.
Yes, I you're correct. It is broken. This is what certification processes are like. They assume that if everything is functioning as designed, the bits that we have to audit look like they do the right thing. They conform to the model that is the thing that we said is okay, and it's something that we can read and understand. It doesn't have to be good. It merely has to be certifiable.
So you just want, do we want security or security fear?
I want security as well, and I understand that these are fine. But the security, getting to that security theater point is pretty easy. All I have to do is change my user ID before dispatch, and then not ever regenerate. And if I do that, 99% of my attack surface has gone away. Because
only
now I have to get
only a theatrical perspective.
I would have to modify device close to not do it.
You can dump device close anyway, so.
Yeah. I would have to inject code. I'm willing to accept that. We haven't had an actual code injection, which is back in ages. At least 18 months.
The X server and the X clients are running as the same user. There are umpteen different ways that as a user.
So the X server clearly can't run as a user.
Yeah,
the user process.
That can't happen. Ptrace. Can't happen.
Yes. But it also means
that's
that.
Fine. That means that.
But I think Because of
actually, I don't need console fit to do anything. I just need to change ownership of the input device to underscore excellent.
But then anybody running an X server can become the process ID, the UID of the X server.
Right.
So they don't get to retrace any other X server.
But they don't get to do that because they don't get to write a SUID application on the disk. They can't write an S because it requires root to do some of these things. You can't put a normal user can't put that kind of application on the disk. You can't say it's an UID root by yourself. I can't, as a normal user, set the SUID bit on thin LS. It won't work. Which means that because some of these things require root privileges already,
I'm missing something here.
I think I get it.
You're saying that any user can become
a UID of the X server. And running an arbitrary program.
But it's not running an arbitrary program. How are you saying?
Stack Overflow attack in the X server, execute bin LS connected to my display connection.
Again, those are how actual attacks happen.
We've seen one of those in the last year.
Right? That wasn't our fault, but yeah. That was the kernel's fault.
That's arguably some of both.
But that
we fixed it in the kernel.
Certification is on the model, not the realization. Dropping privileges.
Yeah, I'm with you there. We can put together security theater. That's maybe useful for
dropping privileges gets me to the point where I can certify my server. And it is an actual advantage because now the attacker has to not only find an exploit to get code injectable code into the server, they also have to regain root.
They don't have to regain root. Our goal here is to prevent people from in a multi-user environment from capturing input events from another user. That's our goal. That's the whole. As far as I know, that's the discussion about why X isn't running not as root on Fedora today. It's because of the input capture problem.
It actually runs as GDM, but there's SG.
Yeah.
I set the capability that secures the SG.
Okay. So we have that, and we have the kill the parent process.
Kill parent process is fine.
Yeah.
It just doesn't happen. The signal business.
Yeah.
SAC's still hard, and you still have to figure out where to put the user, the early input events. I don't think there are any other resources.
I don't think so.
I mean,
the backlog device.
Sorry?
When it comes to the backlog device, that's on the point.
Can we please just put the backlog controls on the DRM device for God intended them? Because that's where they go.
Tell Matthew.
I've tried their output properties. That's where they go.
Tell Matthew.
He
works in your group. You should be able to hold guns to his head.
We used to share an apartment. Yes, I know this. I've had this conversation. SysFS files, actually SysFS in general, if you're not using KMS, you need to be able to you need to be able to mmap the PCI bars.
If you're not using KMS, there's no privilege. Yeah, you can't run out of privilege.
Then I have to support Facebook.
Yes. So you're going to have the ability to run the X server set to ID for drivers that are not.
That means having two copies of it on the disk and telling XORG which one I need. Telling GDM which one
You need a wrapper that is set to ID that does the right thing. That's a very small amount of secure code, right?
Maybe. I can't know ahead of time what I need.
You try to launch the X server, and the X server will tell you, I'm sorry, I need to set to ID. And you just clean yourself set to ID and go again.
Yeah. We don't have code for that. Gross.
Yeah. I don't see how you can be not privileged and not take without KMS though. Visa KMS device.
I mean, well, it's across my mind.
Yeah. That's what Windows has.
Call it 3D effects. like any of the non-KMS drivers. I can do it if I can nmap or open. This is the best resource allowance. That's it. And possibly dev ports.
Yeah.
That's about it.
What possible
security policies?
No, dev port is dev port. No. Dev port, you have to probably be central to get the kernel to reject something. Like I can say, no, you're not allowed to touch the PCI interface based on IPv4. The Sysfs resource files, you are then trusting it not to initiate TKR system memory, but you're doing that anyway. And that's still part of the audit service for KMS drivers.
Is the DRM kernel part?
Sure. That's still part of my thing. Still
yes.
Part of
but let's reduce the amount of code compared to VX over.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, I mean, I can't. It doesn't require a whole lot of work to do this for non-KMS. It just requires these additional resource files.
Of course, if the kernel knows enough about your graphics device to know what ports you do and don't want to touch and what resources you do and don't want to touch, it sounds like you're partway to a KMS driver already.
No, the kernel knows which IO ports to assign each PCI bar.
That's not what the kernel knows. The kernel knows that you want access to the PCI bars of that device. It doesn't know what sections of them trigger you in.
That's yeah. So you have to audit each
video card. User space drivers. Not that big.
Okay.
And they have a pretty small input surface as far as from the memory port.
Right, so would that be a separate process you'd invoke to do the video load configuration?
I think the first step, you know, would be a scheme. We'll let me do nmap over a channel. And I can have that open the file descriptor, the files that I need, get a file configured back, and then nmap that. And that's fine. And that can get a small detail.
Yeah.
That's actually a lot easier than I don't want to make the Sysfs resource files mappable by X11 if I'm using KMS. So I need it only when I'm only for KMS.
Okay. Well, it sounds like we have three issues. We need some way of flipping input on and off.
Mm-hmm.
Do we need some way of flipping the ability to set the front buffer?
Okay.
So which process group is allowed to?
Is allowed to own the front buffer?
Yeah.
I think those are the same.
Those are the same. Okay.
Again, you want, for multi-seed, you want seed concept, you want your seed to have its own foreground and it's set. But,
yeah.
But that's actually what's awful. You can do this for a single seed case first.
Okay.
What was number three?
The fixing up the SIG IO, the signal stuff at startup time.
Yeah.
Display is something sensitive. Yeah, tell me what your display number is. Let me know here.
Yes. That was a pretty quick hack. I'm really sad that nobody said that. Come on, guys.
Nobody's
for you.
It seems like a reachable plan.
What about using, base FB or something that instead of using the base FB?
That's not base FB has the FBDev problem. FBDev's monitor configuration code is atrociously bad. It has the barest semblance of its community part. Base FB is allowed, if I ask FBDev for a mode, it's allowed to give me something else back. I think that's bogus. I think that's not something that I want to ship on any of my hardware ever at all.
Well,
you base a KMS? Sure. Base FB? No, never.
Would base a KMS be sufficient?
It has to be like you base FB where you call up to a user space helper to give the X86MB crap. But yeah, that would be fine.
That seems like a pretty credible plan.
Doesn't take a lot of work. I just haven't had.
Yeah.
I had.
Yeah.
So the only other problem with that is that right now we have Vesa at the Vesa driver and use the user driver for memory is pretty radically crippled, because the only way that I can run it as a fallback driver is by unloading the KMS module.
And if we had,
that's the only thing to do.
And if we had a KMS for VESA kernel module, you'd be a KMS driver, then you wouldn't have to unload another KMS driver. Because you'd be using the KMS interfaces for your VESA thing.
I wouldn't know if I needed it yet.
What?
I wouldn't know. I can't know if I need it yet. That's a boot time configuration. The reason why people boot with no mode set is because the display fails to line up, which means it's far too late for you to switch to fade. By that time, you have modified enough of the card state that the BIOS invariants do not apply.
That's true.
You cannot post the damn thing.
You can't post it.
NVIDIA, after boot, NVIDIA cards take the post vector and turn it into an iris. It does nothing. You can call post after boot on an NVIDIA card and nothing will happen. It is a very, very fast way of getting in and out of reload.
Why do they do that exactly?
Because they never have to do it. Because when they resume, the binary driver resets the card back up. They don't rely on the platform to do it because they can't trust that the platform will do it.
Well, same with Intel.
They let the OS do it.
Same with Intel. The video BIOS on Intel doesn't do anything if resume either.
Right. It only does things at resume. There are a couple of hard platform manufacturers that do.
Yeah.
Have a flag of BIOS for post card resume.
Yeah.
In general,
it doesn't work.
In general, it doesn't work.
Yeah.
So, no. Having a basic KMS driver is a fine idea and all. It's still a boot time switch.
Yeah, that's a boot time switch.
All of this is now boot time switch. Yeah. I'm okay with that, but
it doesn't help us a whole lot.
It changes expectations. So.
Okay.
There was a last point that is minor, but I think it's annoying. It's how to write to the log file, because there is no specific syslog level for this window, and adding the logs of the server written.
If you have a per user X server, then the X server can just write its log file
to the home
directory.
Not X server errors. Actually, you can assume the home directory.
Whatever. But again, we've solved this for other applications in the past.
Except no, it can't. You don't have any, because the X server can't run to user. The X server asks for runs its own UID.
No.
Yeah.
We have a mechanism for running the X server as a user. The only problem with the X server is if we add kernel stuff to support.
Oh, sure. Right.
And which is GDM running at first.
Right, so GDM runs an X server, and then when the user logs in, the user launches their own X server, and we use some meta server, Wayland or something, to switch from the GDM screen to the user session once the user session is up and running.
Probably don't even for a first right, you don't even wait to do it.
No, you can just
flip. Just VT switch. Yeah. Leave GDM running.
Yep.
Factory running.
Well, then that's your user, and the SA key flips back to the VT for GDM. So we get a bunch of flashing.
Oh, that's fine.
But we could resolve the flashing with a meta
display there.
Or we can leave the flashing if you want a cheaper system.
Hard to know if people want to switch to VT switch back to GDM for screen unlock, so you don't have the problem of being unable to lock the screen when someone has a menu closed that they can grab.
Yep.
So your SA key should flip VTs. That's what it should do.
And we can almost do that. We can do that with KMS.
Yes.
For user space drivers, VT release is a negotiation with the X server.
And non-KMS drivers are not going to secure.
Well, yeah, we just have to.
Yeah. I'm okay with that.
We're
at the end of our period. A lot of time here, so.
Yeah, I get that.
And one possible solution is to just run everything under a WAN and meta server. I think there are better ways to spend CPU cycles than shuffling data between the processors.
Don't you guys make processors that are like really fast or can do pretty good context switch on
this? People complaining about latency for screen updates though. You know? This is
It's a context switch to get us free to do a page flip.
Yeah.
How many context switches can you do in one frame?
Actually, I got the answer to this a while ago. If you, on this machine, which is a Core 2 Duo, fairly recent vintage, you can do query pointer up to 22,000 times a second, which is 44,000 context switches.
So you're talking about taking 0.05 milliseconds?
Microseconds.
No, 50 microseconds.
Yeah. 2.4 GHz processor, full blast,
yeah.
44,000 context switches.
So out of 15 milliseconds, you're talking
tiny bits.
1%?
Yeah. We're not shelving data around. We're shelving the input data around.
Yeah, that's fine.
We're coming with a frequency of 500 Hz.
500
Hz per minus.
This touchpad is 500
Hz. Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm
so we're talking about doing 1,000 additional context switches per second.
Yes.
Wait, so during one frame, I get like 5 minutes most.
Just as I really hate to put data into discussion, but I'm idling in 500 context switches a second. If I start moving the mouse around, it becomes 1,500, 1,700 or so. So it's another 1,000 right now.
Yeah. So that's a pretty significant load to add in.
No, but that math doesn't work out because as you move your mouse, you don't squeeze in here an hour of application and your team doesn't make stable as well.
Here.
There's a ton of processing all the stuff. Yeah. So adding one more context switch to this and chew down the entire way and then you put one more context switch out of those 1,500, it's not a practical objection. If you don't like the other, that's fine, but the context switch the lag is not a valid objection. I know Brayden doesn't run on the top hardware, I understand another objection, but it's not because of lag, that's not a valid objection.
Why not?
Because it's not a question.
It's additional load on the system, which is not provided on the
system.
Yeah, during all the sessions, but it's that couple of percent. People will fight for a couple of percent of performance. A lot of people will fight.
It's not going to be a couple of percent.
Yeah, reasonable.
We show them. We're going around numbers, we don't have anything to say what to do with it.
To do 2,000 context switches a second, I can do about 44,000 these days. To do 2,000 context switches a second is 5% of the machine.
That's actually about what I was saying, yeah. Right, just from watching.
That's pretty significant.
But that's 5% of the machine that is wheeling us around.
Yeah. And we're going to add...
I bet you will... go to like 6. It's not
huge. Not huge, but it's measurable. Can we avoid it?
I don't think it's measurable.
Our fat thumb estimate says I will be able to measure it.
Let's try this. Yes.
And can we avoid it? And I think the answer is yes, we can avoid it. But without fundamentally changing what the system is going to be capable of. All we need to be able to do is switch the input device between servers. That's all we have to be able to do.
And switch the output device.
Yes, switch the input and output device.
We have to add here and there.
Yes, we need to be able to switch the input and output device. That's all we have to do.
We don't want to arbitrate this and use the switch.
Right. We're going to arbitrate this and interpret this. Yes, to improve performance. We do that a lot. That's why we have OPAD, a big curve.
Yeah, I don't buy it.
We're trying to make it as efficient as possible.
Yeah,
and
we want to make more efficient. I think there's, if we have to talk about this, the overhead of the context switch with the mouse again, that's one thing we both try out. But there's so much other stuff we could optimize out next server. Like, why are we having two of them?
Not to break up this fight or anything, but it is now popping right now.
Yeah.
So,
and this is not about X. This is about two display servers versus one display server. Right? It's Wayland on top of Wayland, same argument.
I thought this about X.
It's the same argument, right?
No, the HTML was different. HTML was about running and different X server that we with a different backend that we and then we and the other thing is we had the A came up as a better solution.
What did?
AIDLA.
Having server load the DLA, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. What was the other alternative?
HDLA.
Nested X server.
Oh, yeah. That was, did anybody ever think that was a credible plan?
Well, no, they'll ship anyone else.
Well, was it a credible final plan? No, it was a
Friedman plan.
What?
It was a David Friedman plan.
Yeah. Okay, that's a better. But it was clearly just a hack, right?
Yeah, but I don't think they stopped too because of the extra lag from Austin.
There was a significant additional lag for everything in that server. It was so.
Yeah, well, let's go get broken out.
Okay.
Ooh, okay.
So do we have a plan then?
I think, yeah.
Well,
I don't know if we have a plan, but at least we have a scope to work.
All right.
And we have some idea of what things we could do to make it work. Because right now we're stuck in, everybody says we need revoke. And everybody said, well, revoke for things like MDAP files is really hard.
Right.
We don't need that. We need to be able to revoke an input device. It isn't MMAPable.
Right.
So I want to get away from the
hard edges. We're character by non, which is why it's very simple.
Yeah. I just want to make it so that the excerpt isn't the one responsible for the revoke.
Cool.
Coffee time, guys.